I was looking at these texts as I do every week, and I realized that it's been a very long time since I've taken sort of the primary text from the Psalms. And just through a variety of no doubt spirit-led things that some people might call coincidences, but I don't, Psalm 1 and other talks about trees in Scripture has been coming up throughout the past week. My spiritual formation committee or community was talking about it. And so I've been thinking about this psalm in particular, but obviously all of our texts, especially the two that talk about trees, but we'll talk about some of the others also. When we look at Psalm 1, we have this binary of a good tree and a bad tree. And you all know how much I hate binaries because so few of them are actually true. Generally speaking, if something is presented to you as an either-or, take another look at it, because there aren't that many either-ors in the world that are actually there. There's often something in the middle. Is there something here? Well, this binary, a good tree and a not good tree, troubles me frequently because of what I know about trees. Trees take a long time to grow. They are, you can't even see them grow unless you watch a time-lapse movie or something like that. So you have trees that are just there. And if you have a good tree, it's lovely, like the tree in our front yard. If you have not a great tree, like the tree in our backyard, how do you switch between the two of them? How do you go back and forth between a good tree and a bad tree, especially being a good tree and a bad tree? Well, the reminder that I had to have, and that hopefully will be helpful for you, is to remember that Psalms are poems. They're not texts that we are supposed to look at necessarily and take literally, because obviously we are not trees. We are human beings. We do not take our nutrients from the soil. We do not absorb water through our feet. Sometimes it feels that way in spring, but we don't actually do it. So these poems, most poems anyway, they're evocative, they bring forth feelings, they're symbolic, they're not literal. And so if we are not trees, then what do we do with this? Well, what we're looking at isn't so much a moment-by-moment kind of thing. The psalmist is saying that on the whole, people who do not follow the advice of the wicked, people who do what they're supposed to do, who follow the God they have aligned themselves with, people like that are very similar to well-watered trees in a good portion of land. The image of trees isn't so much that for half the day you're a good tree and then you do something foolish, you gossip about somebody, you lose your temper, you do whatever it is that you're prone to do, and most of us have things we're prone to do. It's not that you're suddenly going from this lovely, luscious tree to this scrawny, wretched tree. It's we're looking at what is the pattern of your life. Because that's what the image is about. The image is about a person who, all in all, doesn't follow the advice of the wicked, doesn't follow the path that bad people tread, doesn't sit with scoffers or mockers, whatever translation you use. But instead, we follow the law of the Lord to the best of our ability, and we meditate on this same law. We meditate on the relationship we have with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, on a regular basis. It says day and night. It doesn't mean that that's the only thing we do and we never sleep. We're talking about poetic hyperbole here. This is the kinds of things we do. And if we're that kind of a person, we will look like a tree planted in well-watered soil. Those kinds of trees are beautiful. It's a lovely image. And so we need to hold on to the image and the point of the image rather than the image itself. We can get caught up in literalism when it comes to poetic symbolism, and it almost always gets us in trouble. So instead, we look at the larger picture and say that a well-watered tree looks lovely on the whole. May not look that great in the fall when half its leaves are off and half are on. But overall, it's looking like it's supposed to look. It's being as good a tree as it can be. And that's what we are called to do. The other thing that my spiritual formation community helped me see for the first time, really, which is, I was going to say it's embarrassing to admit, but it's not embarrassing. I don't know everything. I'm learning new things every day, and I'm glad for that. I realized I had always pictured a stream and a tree, a single tree, plunk, and then grass, nothing else. I was led into seriously considering that this isn't a single tree. It's more along the lines of an orchard. And a well-watered, well-fed tree in an orchard looks just as pretty as a tree on its own. It's just as useful as a tree on its own. But it's even stronger than a tree on its own because it has support from the trees around it to help deal with the wind, to help deal with insects and all these other things. And I realized that I had taken a psalm that formerly I didn't really like all that much and had misshapen it into something it wasn't. And because of that, I didn't like it. Not because it's unlikable. It's because I looked at it as some kind of a simplistic single binary where, once again, I was looking at it from this Western perspective that says that we are on our own, and we're not. We can't do it on our own. We're in community. That's why we get together every Sunday, even over Zoom. That's why we didn't just say, well, we can't meet together. We'll be fine. Because we're not fine. We need to be in community. And now when I think of that tree planted by the water, I see a bunch of other trees around it, helping it grow and helping it to be good, helping it to be the best tree it can be. And that's the kind of thing also that we see in Jeremiah, that people who trust in the Lord, according to Jeremiah, will be like a tree planted by the water. Not the only tree, not the only tree for miles and miles around, but will be a tree planted by the water. It'll stay green, even in times of drought. I don't know what image you prefer or what you think of when you think of drought, but during those times when it seems like God's far away, it's still fine. Because even if we can't see the stream, if it's just this little muddy rivulet, there's still water underground. There's still moisture going to the tree to push the image as far as it can. God continues to care for this tree, and it continues to do well. So I was looking at that, and I was pretty happy with the whole thing. And then I realized that I applied similar kinds of thinking to the reading in Luke. If you were happy when you were poor, does it follow that if your situation turns around, you will suddenly be woeful, or it'll be woe to you? If you were hungry, but through the love of the community you're part of, you are now full, will you suddenly be woeful? No. I realized that in this, just as in Psalm 1, I was looking at the statements that Jesus made towards these various groups as totalizing statements, saying that if you are poor now, you will always be poor, which isn't really all that great to look forward to, but at least you'll be happy. If you're hungry now, you'll be hungry for the rest of your life, but you know, at least you'll be full someday or whatever it might be. And the flip side, that if you're doing well, it's impossible for you to really love and follow God. These things don't follow. What Jesus is talking about here, Jesus is also using hyperbole, just not in the form of a poem. And he's talking about the larger picture, that just because you're poor, it doesn't mean you have to be miserable on top of it. It doesn't mean that if you're hungry, that you have to be miserable on top of it. Just because you're weeping doesn't mean you will weep forever, that your grief will never lift. And Jesus also isn't saying that if you have been fortunate enough, you've been blessed with material things, that you are fundamentally sinful, that you are a terrible person, that you've got all the consolation you will ever get. Jesus is talking about looking at the far edges of the cases, saying that just because you're poor and just because you're rich, it doesn't necessarily follow that this or that is your ultimate end. Because it's the same as with the trees. It's possible for us to spend some time being hungry. metaphorically or literally. As many young couples who are in full-time education, we spent some time being poor. And yes, we had a roof over our head, we had gifts to be sure, but we were spending coin collection money to buy milk. That's poor for at least for our context. But I'm not poor now. And I was happy when I was poor because I looked at it as a temporary thing, and I knew at a deep level that God hadn't abandoned me. God had said this is what it is for this time. And that even when I was poor, I could still be a tree planted by the water. I could still be a tree growing and flourishing, but maybe it was a tree in a time of drought when trees don't grow as vigorously as in other times. Sometimes it's helpful to talk about trees. Sometimes, often, it's helpful to talk about the images that we see in Scripture and help us to look at them a little more deeply. And that's why I love being in community, this community and any other community I'm in, because I can't know everything. When I was younger, I was a know-it-all, but I really didn't know it all. I just was obnoxious. Now I realize that there is so much I don't know, but you might, that you can help me with even a casual comment that you make after a service can change how I think about Scripture, can change how I think about community, can change how I think about another person, all of those things. And maybe the best part of being a tree that's well watered is that we have the freedom, we have that sense that we are okay, so we can take the risk of trusting some new information, of admitting our ignorance. We're not going to be a single kind of tree in a single situation for all of our life. And we won't suddenly be transformed from the highest of high to the lowest of low. It doesn't work that way. It appears to me, on the basis of personal experience and church history, that we move through these, it's almost a continuum of closeness to God, distance from God. We're always loved by God. God never moves. It's only us. And God is as close to us in our worst day as in our best. But we have these changes, and the psalmist and Jesus and Paul, and not so much today, but also in lots of other places, is helping us see that when we go between these things, there are upsides and downsides to both, and we need to pay attention to where we are. We want to be good trees, and we don't become good trees by hoarding what we have. We want to be happy, and that doesn't come by hoarding what we have either. God calls us to be generous with the things that God has given us, whether it's material possessions or the knowledge that we are loved to an infinite degree by God. And if we need to talk about trees to be reminded of that, I'm happy to talk about trees. But what I hope we all take from this today is that we can be flourishing, fruitful people, that we can survive the droughts, because it all comes back to a God who loves us and wants us to be well. Amen.